Well, I thank God so much for this opportunity. I don't take this for granted to be here. I know it's God's will. And before the foundation of the earth, God ordained this. Like the way I met these two brothers, and here I am, I know God ordered my steps to be here. And I want to thank you so much, the pastors and the elders. Steve, God bless you, and Sue. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and share what God is doing in my life and Zimbabwe. I bring you greetings from my wife, Rose Witter. My wife is called Rose. We've been married now for 36 years together. And we have four children. And I thank God so much. And I'm so happy to see my friends from Zimbabwe. Great singing. Rinjani, Kapila, which is good singing. And Rinjani, what one?
Welcome to
Texas. So we're speaking one of our languages anyway. All right. I'm happy to be here. This is a wonderful church, beautiful church, and what an opportunity to come and share the word of God here. I've enjoyed food that you cooked for me and Sue and your bless, and that wonderful bless. I wish my wife was here. Yes. Thank you for your hospitality. Wonderful. And Kathy, enjoyed your kids and everything. Wonderful. Well, I'm going to share a little bit. I'll open the scriptures and share a little bit about my life, my biography, and then I'll share the word of God. I promise I'm not going to take very long, all right? I know I'm in America and they keep time. But anyway, I wrote some books. My wife and I have written books. One of the books that I wrote my biography book, and Pastor Steve has got it. He's reading it, and I know elders, Pastor Jason, Elder Steve is going to have it also to read it. You can borrow it and read it also. It will help you for you to get to know more about us. And of course, let me preface. Thank you, Father. I welcome you this morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your grace and mercies that are new every morning. I thank you, Lord, that your word says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Through the blood of Jesus, you have made us righteous. I thank you, Father, for this wonderful church and the leadership here, for this great opportunity to share your word. Thank you, Father. I apply the blood of Jesus this morning in this place. And I submit myself under the mighty hand of God. Fill this place with the presence of God, the anointing that breaks every yoke, wisdom and understanding in this place. We'll give you honor and glory to you alone, Jesus, our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, and all God's people say,
amen.
Say amen. All right. Let me read scripture, then I'll go about telling my story. Turn with me from the book of Acts. So I'll share everything while I've read the scripture. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, I want to read a few scriptures. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It reads, "Take heed thereof unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost," someone said the Holy Ghost, "over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." I'll give you another scripture again. Go with me. Exodus, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 24. Verse 8. It says here, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Give you the last scriptures. Go with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14, that's 14, verse 7. It reads, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprous 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Verse 12. Verse 12 says, and the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. Verse 14, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. May the Lord bless the reading of his words. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I was born in the jungles of Africa, Zimbabwe. These days, if you go to our villages, are now good villages, better. But then, I was born in 1957, I'm now 60 years old. Where I was born, you couldn't see a car, no lights, no tar road, not even big dust roads for traffic. And when you come out of the bus, you have to walk a long way to reach where I was born, in the bush. And you have to cross some little creeks and mountains and then go down. I was born in those muddy house. Some of you have seen that in the movies, whatever. And they told me that there was no nurse, there was no doctor. And my mom died when I was maybe 3 or 4 years. And after she gave birth to my young brother, 10 days after she gave birth to my young brother, she passed on. My dad, they told me that he had come from the cities working for another company to build bridges in that area. And he met my mom, who had divorced another man. And she gave birth with this man, 2 boys, that's me and my young brother. And he disappeared. So I didn't get to know my mom or my dad. In those days, if someone died, they would destroy the pictures. So I don't know their pictures. I don't remember any voice, any words from both of them. Then I grew up with my uncle. He raised me. I thank God for him and his wife. And I get to know my young brother because they took him to an orphanage somewhere far away. I didn't know that I had a young brother. Later on, when he was 10, that's where they brought him to the village now. That's my young brother. We grew up together in the village. Now, to cut the long story short, it was not an easy life. The school which was nearby, you could only go as far as 4th grade. That's it. If you want to go 5th grade and above, you have to wake up while it's still dark. You carry some food, pap, salt, that we call it. You walk very far, miles, to get that school. So I told my uncle, I said, I cannot go forward with school because it's too far. So I get to reach up to sixth grade. That's it. Those schools were primitive schools in those days because the British were not care about those village people at that time. And so my uncle was very, very poor. I remember maybe three cows, some chicken, those mud houses. He had his children, about five, and I was the oldest ones. So I said to my uncle, why don't you allow me to go to the city? In those days, I used to take care of the those small kettles. I remember I had my little cage with birds inside. Most of the birds that I would catch was doves. So whenever I was in the bush taking care of the kettles, whenever I would see the dove flying from the tree, I would go to the tree and look if maybe there's a nest. If I see a nest with eggs, I would pray a short prayer and say, Lord, keep my dove. It's mine. Let nobody take it. So when the dove hatch, I would climb on top of the tree and tie the legs on the tree so that when they grow, when I come to pick them, they won't fly away. So I had a big cage with doves. So I was walking around in the bush, taking care of those three, four kettles of my uncle with doves. Every time I see a dove flying a nest, eggs, I'll pray a small little prayer. Lord, keep my dove. Let nobody take it. It's mine. Little did I not know that God was calling me from the bush. So to send me to the mission of the world. I didn't know that dove symbolized the Holy Ghost. Then, of course, to cut the story long, and I remember saying to him, please, can you allow me to go to the city? In our city at that time, it was only mainly the whites there, the blacks there. So my uncle said, well, if another relative will come, we're going to ask him to take you to the city. Sure enough, and he came, and I could not sleep that night going to the city. For the first time, I was now 17 years old. Junk clothes, t-shirt back, no shoes. He had to borrow shoes from somewhere. I had to put some papers, because it was oversized shoe. Put some papers to fit me. Woke up early in the morning. Oh, I remember we walked far away to where the bus station was. There was standing, waiting for the bus. I could see the dust far away. The bus was coming. I was happy. The bus arrived. We jumped in the bus. I was holding on the bench of the bus. I peeped through the windows. I see trees running. And then we arrived in the city. So cars. And this guy had to hold my hand to cross the streets. And we went to a place called Avondale, and where he was working for the wives. And he said to me, wait outside here. When it's dark, come through this sandrine. We call them sandrine. Jump. Then I'll jump through the wall to the seventh quarter so that his boss could not see that he has brought another person in this yard. So it was dark. He jumped. I hide in that room. During the day, they went away to work. So he looked for me for a job. Then I got a job nearby. My first pay was four pounds. It was pounds that time. And then later on, I got another job again. The later on, I worked for another Christian policeman. And he said, George, I'm going to send you to school and learn how to cook so you can cook for me. Then he was now giving me $10 now. We were using dollars now at that time. And I remember one day I was just standing at the gate. It was 5 p.m. and relaxing, you know. Blacks, garden boys would work in the garden, and cookers would just stand in the streets, just fellowshipping. If you were a garden boy or a cooker, you'd wear khaki clothes. If you're a cooker, white uniforms. So this lady was passing by, holding her Bible. She said to me, "George, why don't you go to church?" I said, "What? Church?" Well, I thought in my mind, I'll just accompany a little bit, then I'll come back. We were going, you know, ladies, she was talking and talking and talking. I was listening, she was talking and talking. I forgot to go back. Then I saw myself arriving at the church. Then I got inside. I sat down. It was Thursday evening. They were having practice, choir practice. As I sat down there, this elder, he came to me of the church and smiled at me. I said, "Hello." I said, "Hello. What's your name?" "George." So I had my black rubbers, we call them black powers, given by a witch doctor, and my charm in my pocket. I don't know if you call what is charm. Given that, what could they call them here? Charms. What could they call them? Given by the witch doctor in my pocket here. And this black power. So he said to me, "Young man, what is this?" And I said, it's my things, my stuff. And he said, "You don't need these things. It's call evil spirits for you." And he was taking them away. I was so angry. I said, "What is he doing? Taking the things that protects me? He doesn't know I'm suffering with these and epileptic falling down and he wants me to die?" So I was so sad and angry. After church service, I was standing outside there looking at him. I wanted to talk to him. I was afraid again to go to him. I went to that lady and said, "Lady, that man took my stuff. Please, can you talk to him? I need them back. Things that protects me." She said to me, "What is that?" I said, "My black powers." She smiled to me and said, "George, you don't need those things. You need Jesus." I said, "Really?" Then I said in my mind, "Well, I've got my charm here." He didn't see it. I went away. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they had another meeting in the house. They invited me again. I went there. Thank God for women. I always said, thank God for women. Another woman again was preaching, different woman. And she preached about blind Bartimaeus. And she said, "If you've known Jesus, you are blind spiritually. You don't know where you are coming from, and you don't know where you are going. You are blind spiritually." And I gave my life to Jesus that evening. Jesus came inside my heart. My sins were forgiven. I was delivered. Those demons left me. Nobody told me to throw away the charm. I went home, took that charm, put it in the garbage. And I was filled by the Holy Ghost. After a few months, 6 months, I felt so strong, the call of God upon my life. And of course, to cut the long story short, I'll see visions, voices from the Lord calling me. I'll see myself preaching the gospel of Jesus, laying hands on the sick. And I went to Bible school in Zimbabwe, and after Bible school, I was sent to go and pastor another small church, and where there were elders there. Later on, I said to my pastor, "I don't think I'm a pastor. I feel I'm an evangelist." He said, "Well, we will test you." He handed me over to some other senior evangelist, and later on, they sent me alone. And I remember I was preaching to another small church one day called Mbarek, called Ethiopian Church, and people from Malawi, I was preaching, And I opened the Bible from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I preached and preached and preached. I began to lay hands on the sick. After praying for the sick, as I was about to sit down, the elder said, "Oh, there's somebody sick here." I went to him. I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "My legs." I prayed for him. I said, "Stand up, do this." And he went like this. And everybody was saying, "Ah." I said, why are people making noise? I asked it, the leader. And they said, "Oh, he was a cripple. He came in a wheelchair. The wheelchair is outside. Oh, he's walking." I said, "Walk, walk, walk, walk." And he was walking, walking. I said, "Walk, walk, walk." And he was healed. And from that day, I always say, I tested honey and I never liked syrup anymore. And all over Zimbabwe, they heard that the young evangelist George has prayed for a cripple who was on a wheelchair and is walking. They began to invite me all over the country, holding crusades, mass crusades, in stadiums, open air fields, and auditoriums. Now, later on, to cut the long story short, 1989-90, I found myself at Christ for the Nations. So I always say, from the jungles of Africa to the nations of the world. So I thought just to say a little bit about my story. My wife and I, we grew up as an orphans, and God spoke to us to go back and take care of orphans. Children, I love children. I want to see them living a better life, those orphans, which I didn't live. And that's part of our calling. And we do this from our heart because we lived it. We know it. We know what is to grow without a dad. I know what is to grow without a mom. And I'm so happy doing it. And if the Lord speaks to you to partner with us, God will bless you. Whenever we meet there someday in heaven, those kids, Jesus said, they shall run and say, thank you. I had no shelter, you gave me shelter. I had no food, you gave me food. And you'll say, where was that? And she will say, oh yeah, you remember church came to your area. And we will share the crown. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Let me just pause a little bit. Do you have any questions? Before I share the word. Yes. Since 2002, we have this, we have built, we are finishing the fourth house. Also, we are embarking to build another orphanage in a place called Mutoko area, small town. That's where I was born. The first one is near town, called Northern Maroondale, about 50 kilometers. You say miles, 15 kilometers from the big city where it is. And I'm now building, the Lord led me to build where I was born. And there, we are building four houses again. We haven't started yet. We've only put a borehole, we've sinked, what do you call it?
Water well.
Water well, sink. It's a bore, a broad machine, drilled. We've sinked some pumping machine down in the ground. And we'll put a tank already and two rooms for caretaker will take care of the place as we trust God for money to build orphanage, then a clinic. We call it a clinic, but it's huge, like a hospital. For the kids, not only for the kids, but also for the community. The government said, well, if we give you this land, what are you going to do for the community? I said, what do you want? He said, clinic. I said, well, fine, it's okay. Give us a plus. We'll trust God. And they said, do you have the money? I said, God has got the money. So we did some plans, the blueprints. It's done already, everything. So we're waiting for God to supply the funds, yes. All right, yes. Somebody we hire somebody from the church. There has to be husband and wife. Yes, couple. They have to live there. The setup must be like family setup. Yes.
How many children do you have now?
Almost 30. Yes, living in three houses. And the fourth one, when it's done, we'll take more kids there. Yes.
This is interesting. If you get a chance to watch the video through, toward the end of it, George talks about his animals and goats and the chickens and everything. And then he also mentions that they want to begin producing food for themselves so they can be more self-sufficient
right.
Food. in his trip here, I took him over to meet with Raphael and Evelyn. And Raphael, his project, which we'll tell us more about another time, is to go to Zimbabwe and teach them how to maximize the use of water through the drip lines and the irrigation. And it just fit right with
his vision
for growing their own food.
And yeah, exactly.
It's not just a drip line, but raised beds and everything. So there's some things that George was exposed to here through Raphael, who is my neighbor here, but kind of a neighbor to him in Zimbabwe.
Right. So, and I thank God for meeting this couple. I thank God. Yes. Because I've learned a lot from them since. That's those few minutes we met. The Lord connected me something to go and do through you.
Yes,
praise God. Any question? Yes. The school? The mothers? No, we don't have our own school. If they are small or young, the mothers will go. The mothers will take those kids to school. And the school is not far away.
Government school.
Government school, yes. Yeah, it's not far away. It's just like 5-10 minutes walk.
And you pay for the fees?
Yes. Fees. First, second, third grade, you know, $36. And some $60, $70, some $100
at the
high school, yes. Pardon? Oh yeah, we do everything for those kids until that child has got a diploma or skills, so that when he or she leaves the place, she has something in his hands to be able to stand by himself or herself. We don't just feed them and just like that. We make sure that they've got skill before they leave the place. The government cannot give us support because the economy is bad, very bad. They say to us, we're supposed to give you $20 per each child, but we cannot. So we work with them. We don't just take children from the streets. They give us children. We fill forms through them. Every child must go through them, every child. Even if I see an orphan, they must come through the government. We go, I fill form, sign for the child. Yes. All right. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you so much. So anyway, let's go into the Word of God. I'll share a little bit. And here we see Paul speaking from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 8. He says, take heed that you take care of the sheep that God has purchased by his own blood. Somebody say blood. When I talk about the power in the blood of Jesus this morning. Now, can you imagine Paul saying God's blood? He didn't say the blood of Jesus, but God's blood. Does God has blood? That's the question. I'll take you from the book of Genesis. The first Adam himself, he had no mother. He had no father. He was not born through a woman. God created him, breathed the breath of life. He was a living soul with blood. Life is in the blood. He had blood in himself, the first Adam. Where did he get that blood? Because the baby, the blood in the baby, is not from the mother, it's from the father. So where did Adam, the first Adam, got his blood? Paul said, take heed, take care of the flock of God, which he has purchased by his own blood. So the blood of Adam was from God himself. That's a miracle. That's a mystery. And of course, I want to think that his blood was holy without spot because it was from God. Until that devil himself came and deceived him, tinted his blood, and his blood became sinful. You and me, we are born in sin. His blood became sicknesses, disease in his blood, cancer, asthma, high blood pressure, you name it, rheumatitis. Every sickness was in that blood of Adam and Eve because they disobeyed God. Thank God for the second Adam, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, you know this story, Mary. I can see her, she was busy working in the kitchen. The angel of God came. And when Luke, the physician, who wrote the book of Luke, and he wrote also the book of Acts. He was a physician, a medical doctor in those days. He had this story, how Mary conceived, and how Mary claimed that she knew no man. And he took a journey to go there. And he arrived and he saw Mary and he said, "Oh, I've come. I'm Dr. Luke. I just want to understand more about, I heard your story." And he was interviewing Mary. And he said, "Tell me, how did you get pregnant? You say you know man. How did you get pregnant to give birth to this son?" And Mary began to narrate the story. How the angel of God came and say, "Hail Mary, do not be afraid, you are favored of God." And the angel said, "You shall conceive and have a baby, and thou shalt name his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." Mary answered and said, "How will that be? I don't know a man. I've never known a husband, I've never known a man. How will that be?" And the angel of God said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall conceive. And you shall give birth to a baby boy." And of course, she conceived, she gave birth. Now, I always ask and say, whose blood was in Jesus? Like I say, if the mother is pregnant, the blood in the baby is not from the mom. The blood is from the father. Scientifically, it's if a young man pregnant, a young girl, and he said, "No, I don't know the pregnant." The doctors will take blood from the baby and father and test. And the doctor will say, you're the one who is the father of this baby. So, whose blood was in the baby called Jesus? It was the blood of God himself. Holy blood. Spotless blood. Pure blood. The blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power. That's why John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." One drop is enough to cleanse all our sins. One drop of the blood of Jesus is enough to heal every cancer, every sickness, every disease. Jesus paid it by the shedding of his blood on the cross. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
One day another evangelist, I know you know the evangelist called Renard Bonnke, he tells his story. He was invited to a TV show and then he arrived. He got inside the room. He realized there was somebody already sitting there. And he realized that this man was an atheist. Somebody who doesn't believe in God. And as they were discussing, questioning, the journalist was questioning, the atheist said to Renard Bonnke, "I heard you preaching. I heard you saying there's power, power, power in the blood of Jesus. I don't believe in that. Because if there was power in the blood of Jesus, why the whole world today is still the same? Many are still sinners. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, you said he shed his blood. Why many sickness? Why many problems? Why people are still doing evil? Why? And there you say there's power in the blood. Jesus shed his blood 2,000 years ago. I don't believe in that. And when I bonk, he answered, the man, he said, sir, you can work in a factory where soap is being manufactured. But if you don't take soap and apply it on your dead body, you remain dirty. You can carry a box of soap, put it in your bedroom, lying on it as a pillow. If you do not take soap, apply it on your body, you will remain dirty. And he said, the same, if you do not take the blood of Jesus, apply it on your sinful heart, you remain a sinner. Take the blood of Jesus, one drop of the blood of Jesus will cleanse every sin, will wash away all our sin. The blood of Jesus has got power. There is life in the blood. So this morning I want to remind you that you must apply the blood of Jesus every time. So many times we teach about everything, we sing about everything, but we forget to sing about the blood of Jesus. We forget to teach about the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. God said to Israel, the Jews, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You remember where we read Exodus? God said to Moses, tell Israel to take the blood, kill a lamb, shed the blood of the lamb, take it, apply it on your doorpost. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And Moses, the Bible says, in the wilderness, he sprinkled the blood to over 3 million Jews. Where we read? 3 million Jews. Moses, apply the blood. The blood of the lamb which was slain from the foundation of the earth. In the Bible, the word lamb is written 33 times. And when Jesus was 33 years, he shed his blood on the cross. So my friend, my brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to remind you, there is power in the blood. I pray the Holy Ghost will reveal to you this revelation secret. There is power in the blood of Jesus. When you pray, learn to apply the blood of Jesus on your marriage, on your family, on your husband, on your wife, on your property, on your finances, because there is power in the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the Bible, Leviticus chapter 14, the Bible says, in those days when somebody is pronounced cleansed from lepers, if you're a leper, you're not allowed to live in the community, but outside the community. And if you are healed, you must bring a sacrifice gift, whether a bed or a god or a lamb, to the priest in the house of the Lord. And the priest will shed blood of that animal. And he'll take the blood, and the Bible says where we read, he'll take the blood and apply that blood on your right ear. Huh? And he'll take again the blood and apply it on your right tongue. The priest, and he'll take again the blood and apply it on your right thumb. In fact, the Bible says ear first. Thumb, you call it what? Thumb, right thumb. Now, if you forget everything that I'm going to say here, don't forget. Come on. Can you do this? Can you do this? Come on. Do like a child. Pardon me. Do this. Come on. Yeah. Down. Do it again. Yeah. Down. Oh, glory be to God. God commanded the priest to apply the blood on the head. Take oil again. After the blood was shed, oil symbolized the Holy Ghost. Are you understanding? Why ear? Ear symbolizes when the blood is applied on our hearing, we are shielded from the voice of the enemy. Did you hear that? Our spiritual ears, our ear, must be applied the blood of Jesus. And it says, if the blood, if our ear is applied, if the blood of Jesus is applied on our hearing, we are shielded from hearing the voice of the enemy. How many times have we heard voices and you could not distinguish which voice is from? There are many voices. Voices from the devil. Voices from you. Maybe you're full of spaghetti. Voices from God himself. And how many times have we made wrong decisions? Thinking is the voice of God, yet it's the voice of the devil. And how many times have we missed God when God speaks to us? And we thought maybe it's a devil. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. I've made lots of wrong decisions. And my wife would say, I told you. I do something again. I say, oh, I think I'm okay. I'm all right. Bam, at the wall. I told you. You know, I don't know why women are so blessed in such a way that they're so sensitive in hearing the voice of God. Very sensitive. I thank God for my wife. You know, sometimes we think that women, that wife of yours, she's just there to be a children and take up children. I tell you, that woman is there to be a great helpmeet in your life. Women, they are very sensitive in hearing the voice of God. And sometimes women, I don't know about you, but myself, I've done lots of big mistakes. And I didn't want to listen to her when she said, I think God wants us to take this direction. I think God wants to do. I don't think so. Let's do this. Oh, no, I'm the man. I'm the head of the house. No. But later on, I realized that this woman beside me, God sent her to help me to be what I'm supposed to be. Because hearing the voice of God is very, very, very important. So that every step that we take, we take it with God in the will of God. But if you're not able to hear, thou says the Lord, what God says, you will do lots and lots of mistakes. And you will delay the will of God in your life. Because God always speaks every time. God speaks every time. He speaks when you're driving. Speaks when you're bathing, even speaks when you're eating, speaks when you're reading the word, speaks when you are fellowshipping, talking, you hear God speaking. God speaks every time. But otherwise, maybe if the blood of Jesus, if your ear is deafened, you know, the devil can deafen your ear. Stop it. Not to hear. Not to hear what he speaks. This morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, I apply the blood of Jesus on your hearing. On your ear. Bam. The Bible says, our hands represents the work that we do. And God says, I will bless the works of your hands. Why applying on your hands the blood? Whatever you touch is blessed. Somebody say, my hands are blessed. Come on, talk to yourself. My hands are blessed. Whatever we touch is blessed. Our children are blessed. Our project is blessed. Our business is blessed. Every step, whatever we touch, our ministry, our church, our leadership is blessed. Because our hands are blessed. Someone shout hallelujah. Now that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, through the blood of Jesus, your hands are blessed. Don't you dare say I'm cursed. You're not cursed. You think Jesus spent his time, wasted his time? No, my friend. Jesus shed his blood so that when we apply the blood of Jesus on our lives, our hands are blessed. Glory be to God. And of course, our feet are symbolic of our walk with the Lord. 1 John 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him through the blood of Jesus. Our walk. Our walk. Our walk with the Lord so that you don't fall away. So that you don't fall away. Our walk with the Lord. The blood of Jesus was shed to anoint our feet. Wherever the sole of your feet shall step on, God said to Joshua, I have given thee. That symbolizes authority over devils and witchcraft. You name it. You have authority through the blood of Jesus. Revelation said they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Can you say amen to yourself? Glory be to God. I'm going to give you seven places where Jesus shed his blood. I'll quickly do that. Seven places. Number one, Jesus shed his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember Jesus when he was praying for you and me in the Garden of Gethsemane? The Bible says his drops became like drops, big drops of blood. As he prayed, as he was in agony, let it be your will, Lord. He was praying for you and me. Genesis said, God said to Adam, you shall toil, you shall work hard. This ground shall bring thorns, symbolize curse. You shall toil. How many times have we toiled and toiled and worked hard and there's no results? How many times have we worked and worked from January to December? There's no results. There's no fruit. The blood of Jesus was shed, drops of blood, so that when we work and work hard and work and work hard, our work will be fruitful. We'll have results. Somebody say fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Somebody say fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Oh, yes. Because Jesus shed his blood. Number two. Jesus shed his blood in the house of the high priest Caiaphas. When they took him in the house of the high priest Caiaphas, they mocked him. They beat him. The Bible says they pulled his beard out and blood. Are you still with me? If you are still with me, say amen. Blood came out. Can you imagine pulling beard? And beard came out. They disfigure his face. They disfigure his image. His image was disfigured. Blood came out. It was a shame on him. How many of us we are carrying an image you don't love yourself? When you're among other people, you feel inferior. You feel you don't love your how you carry yourself, your image. Maybe because how you grew up, your mom or your dad, they used to curse you and demean you, speaking words of demeaning you, and you are carrying that. Because of how you grew. I know what it is. Myself, I never loved myself. Until Jesus saved my life. I remember I would say, why did God make me so tall? I used to be tall and skinny. I didn't like myself. I would look in the mirror and say, why did God make me so tall like this? You better learn to love yourself. Learn to love your image. Learn to love who you are. You are precious. You are wonderful. You are made wonderful in the image of God. You are a spirit, body, and soul. God loves you. Under this, more than 6 billion people under the earth, nobody is like you. You are so important. That's why Jesus shed his blood. Are you carrying a shame? Let me tell you a story about my story and my wife. You know, 1982, we got married. We had a wonderful wedding. Oh, I love this story. God told me that whenever I tell this story, wherever I go, people's lives will be changed. We got married with a wonderful wedding. And you know, in Africa, in Zimbabwe, if you're married, after 9 months, the laws, they expect a baby. Yes, it's our culture. Am I right? Yes. So, I was married to this beautiful woman, Rose. Beautiful girl. Went to honeymoon. After 3 months, 6 months, 7 months, 9 months, there was nothing. No pregnancy. Well, we said, well, next year, second year came. Nothing. Huh? My wife began to say, why me, Lord? I kept myself as a virgin. Why, Lord? Why? The third year came. Nothing. She was now crying. I used to comfort her. And people began to talk. You know, you cannot stop people talking about you. People always talk. People have got mouth to talk. You know, there are some other people who say, I'm going to leave this church because people are talking about me. People will always talk about you. Oh, yes. Don't talk about it. If you're tall, they talk about how tall. I know after this church, you're going to drink some coffee talking about me. Amen. People always talk. If you don't want people to talk about you, you better go and live in the graveyard. Everybody there is quiet there. But if you want to live under the sun, people will talk about you. If you are rich, they'll talk about your richness. If you're poor, they'll talk about how poor you are. If you drive a smoker, they'll talk about your smoker. If you drive a beaker, they'll talk about your beaker. People always talk. So they began to talk about me and my wife. Oh, this evangelist, he prays for the sick. Oh, he prays for the blind. He prays for... But he has no issue, no child. My wife, when she heard about that, she began to cry. Cry. 4 years, nothing. I was sent to Britain. That time I was still working with the Assemblies of God, and I flew there with a team. 2 months we were in West Ham, East Ham. We were preaching there and establishing a church for the Assemblies of God from Zimbabwe, and that was 1984. And as I was getting ready to fly home, I thought, let me buy something for my wife. And went to the shop, looked for a dress. I saw this royal blue dress and pulled it out. And then as I was going to the till to pay the money, the Holy Ghost, somebody said the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, George, why don't you buy something for your baby? I said, what? The Holy Ghost said to me, buy a blue small blanket. You mothers, you know, if you're buying something blue, what kind of a baby is that? Boy, that's right. And I bought a small blue blanket. I bought also a steam iron. In those early 80s, steam irons were not yet common in Zimbabwe. And I flew home, arrived. So my wife at the airport went home, and I said, honey, here's a blanket. Baby's coming. Let's believe God. Let's trust God. Keep this blanket. I said, this iron, don't use this iron until the baby is born. You will first use it on the clothes of the baby. Keep it. Hide it. Fourth year came, nothing. No pregnancy. Fifth year came, nothing. No pregnancy. Sixth year came, nothing. No pregnancy. What would you do with yourself? The seventh year came. Thank God for number seven. Woo, glory. My wife said to me, I think I'm sick. I said, what? She said, I don't feel well. My body is swollen. I said, what kind of disease, sickness is that? You better go to the doctor quickly. She went to see the doctor. The doctor told the nurse and said, test her urine. She was tested urine. And the doctor said, tell her she's 2 months pregnant. She came home. She told me the good news. And from that time, we were pregnant. After 9 months, a baby boy was born. Oh, glory. And I named him Samuel. Samuel means ask it of God. And he's now 29 years old. He's in Australia studying to be mine engineer. And after 5 years again, a boy came. Another one. And I named him Theos. Theos means the only one true God. After 3 years, a girl now came. I named her Nisi, Jehovah Nisi, our banner, our victory. After some 3 years again, we were not closing with medicine or pills or whatever, it was just waiting. Another boy, third boy came, and my wife said, it's my turn now. I want to name him. And she named him George Jr. And I said, Lord, thank you. It's enough, Lord. Close, 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 Lord. It's enough. Glory be to God. Why don't you give Jesus a mighty hand of praise, somebody, this hour? All the shame was gone. Our image was changed. My brothers and my sisters, is through the power of the blood of Jesus. Whatever you are struggling in, whatever it is, it's through the blood of Jesus. Apply the blood of Jesus. Call the name of Jesus. Speak the blood of Jesus. Apply the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Whatever struggle, whatever trials and tests, the blood of Jesus will carry you through. You know, the devil can imitate our songs, can do counterfeit how we preach and pray for the sick, casting out demons, whatever it is, but the devil cannot counterfeit to speak the blood of Jesus, cannot sing about the blood of Jesus. He can imitate any song, any preaching, you name it, but not the blood of Jesus. So God sent me this morning to remind somebody that there is power in the holy blood of Jesus Christ. When you use the blood of the Lamb in whatever occasion, whatever situation, there's power. for your salvation, for your deliverance, for your healing, whatever you name it, there is power in the blood of Jesus. Because of my time, I want to speak to you one story, then I'll stop. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Listen to this. You know this story. In those years, when the blacks, called Negroes, captured from Africa and sold all over the world, like Western world, like America and Britain. It happened that day, there was an auction. Strong young men, blacks, and these farmers would come and examine the muscles of the young blacks and Negroes, and there were also women there, Negroes. And the time came for this young, beautiful lady to put on the podium to be auctioned. She was bound hands with ropes and feet, legs with ropes, and she was brought there standing. And it happened that a young man, another man, was passing by. He looked as far as he was and he saw this young lady ready to be auctioned. And he turned around, stepped towards to the crowd on the auction, and he gazed. And he said in his mind, I'm going to purchase this young girl. And he bid it 3 more than times anybody there. And he won. He went there to take it to the office where he would pay the money and fill the form. Hold the ropes on the young lady and said, come down. And this young black little girl, she looked at him, anger and bitterness in his face. She pulled her saliva and she spit it on the face of this white young man. And the young man pulled a white handkerchief and wiped this saliva. And she said, it's all right, young girl. It's all right, young lady. Come down. It's okay. You have all the ropes. Come down. Follow me. Went into the room and filled the forms. And he purchased her and turned around and gave the young lady these forms. And he said, these papers, wherever you go, if anyone wants to make you a slave, show him these papers that I bought you to set you free. You are no more a slave. I purchased you to set you free. She opened her big eyes. Say, what? You bought me to set me free. She repeated again. You bought me to set me free. She fell down on the feet of this young man. She said, I will follow you wherever you go. And I will serve you all of my life because you bought me to set me free. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I've got a message for you from the Lord. Jesus Christ, through his blood, he purchased you and me, nations of the world, to set us free. You don't need to go to hell. Hell is not for you. But heaven is for you and me. The blood of Jesus, whatever you did, whatever life in the past, Jesus paid the debt. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus upon your marriage, family, your children, your dreams and visions, your finances, your property. There is power in the blood of Jesus. If you are demon-possessed, you are haunted, tormented by evil spirit, whatever witchcraft, the power of the blood of Jesus will break chains and bondages and set you free and free forever. And the priest would apply oil. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Where there's the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. There is freedom. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Give him praise in the heart. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. God, would you stand? God bless you. Stand on your feet if you will. If you want to sit down, it's okay. I didn't finish about seven places where Jesus shed because of my time anyway. I know your pastors can finish that. But I want to pray for somebody here. Are you here? You know that you know that you know that you know you are not born again. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I die today, will I enter heaven? Will I see Jesus? If I die today, will I see Jesus? I'm not sure with my life. I've been coming to church, but I have no assurance that if I die today, will I see the face of God? Will I see Jesus? I want you to leave this place with assurance in your heart. I want to pray for you. If you need this first prayer, if you need this first prayer, would you lift up your hand wherever you are? Lift up your hand wherever you are. If you are there, you want this prayer, please. I want to pray for you. Just lift up your hand wherever you are sitting. Say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want the blood of Jesus to clean my heart. I want to have assurance. Please lift up your hand and I'm going to pray for you. If there's nobody, praise the Lord. If you need healing, you need laying on of hands, sickness, you've got a disease, the doctor said to you, this is incurable disease. Oh, there is power in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says you shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover through the name of Jesus. You shall be, by his stripes, you are healed. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're not sick. You want to stand for your mom, your brother, wherever that person is, your relative, whatever it is. Or you're feeling pain, or there's sickness, disease in your body, or you have any other need. We will pray for you. Please, if you need prayer, come and stand here right now. We'll just sing another song. Any song. Or the last song that you just sang. The last song that you just sang. The last one that you just sang. We're going to pray for people here. Come and stand here. God bless you, my sister. Stand here. Anybody again, come. You're free to come. Just look at me here. Stand and look back at me. Yes. I want to pray for you. If you need prayer or you want to stand of your mom, your dad, or somebody say who's sick or in trouble, you want to stand for that person. We're going to join our faith to pray for that person. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song as we pray for people right now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, Elder. We're going to pray. Come on, Sue. Come. We'll pray for her. Hallelujah. Come on, Pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh, Shamandala Bashikuriyana. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you glory. I give you praise. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You want to say something to me?
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank Jesus. Thank God. Lord, I thank you for my sister. I give you glory. Jesus. For touching her spirit, soul, and body. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Touch her life. Touch spirit, soul, and body. Meet her need. Meet her at the point of her need. Answer her prayers. Heal and set free and deliver. Bring peace, tranquility, joy, deliverance. Holy Father, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, I decree and declare the healing power of God. In Jesus' name, I apply the blood of the Lamb. I apply the blood of Jesus. I apply the blood of Jesus. Touch, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed, Daddy. You are blessed of the Lord.
Amen. You're blessed. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. What is it? Ready? Okay. All right. Okay. I decree, declare in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ is going to be okay for you, okay? It's going to be different. Amen. I'm going to pray for the baby. I'm going to pray for you too. Heavenly Father, thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Apply the blood of Jesus on this mother. Apply the blood of Jesus on her baby. The baby in the womb. Lord, the blood of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that your hand will be upon her, that she will bring forth this baby in a normal way, Father. Holy Spirit, fill the baby. Baby, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be full of the Spirit of God. Be full of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Be filled, Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Right now, I give you glory. I apply the blood of Jesus over the mother and the baby to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Would you lift up your hand wherever you are? Lift up your hand wherever you are. Lift up your hand wherever you are. Dear Lord, we thank you. Precious Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. We retain all the glory, the praise, honor to you alone, Father. To you, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for protection. And Father, I apply the blood of Jesus over my brothers and my sisters, this ministry, this congregation, every family represented here. And I rebuke every power of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. And I rebuke the prince of darkness over this place. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I say the blood of Jesus is against you. Every revenging devils come against you with the blood of Jesus. For it is written, we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Our testimony is we are more than conquerors. Our testimony is we are covered with the blood of Jesus. Our testimony is, he promised us, fear not, I am with thee, even to the ends of the world. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Holy Father. I give honor to you. In Jesus' wonderful name, and all God's people say,
amen.
Let's give the Lord praise. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for having time to listen to me. Amen. Oh, yes.
We're not done yet.
Seizures. Come. I'm going to pray for you.
We got prayer for you.
It's a twin.